my name is Pete Edgerton, and in this mini-series of podcasts, we've been learning more about Edward Powell Smith. Now, Ed is a consultant hand and wrist surgeon who is based at Harrogate District Hospital and also the Circle Hospital in Harrogate too. In episode two, I introduce you to Emma Leather. Emma is a physiotherapist by background, which has led to an interest in wrist and hand physio, and she works privately both in Harrogate and at Airedale Hospital too. Already, the third and final episode is upon us, and the rather broad topic is trauma. So without further ado, here's Edward Powell Smith.
Any trip, slip, spill, dropped catch, missed ball, your hands are vulnerable to injury.
One of the first kind of traumas or injuries that I think of when you think of hands and fingers and wrists is if you're riding your bike as a child and you come off, and of course the first thing you do is you put your hand down and your hand goes along the tarmac. Is it easier to repair at a younger age, or can even something as innocuous as that leave lasting damage?
No, it can leave lasting damage really whatever age you are. If you have fallen with enough force to break a bone, then it's a significant injury and it needs to be managed properly. And we often see, particularly with finger injuries, the problem is that people will often go, oh, it's just a finger, and it'll be all right. And they'll leave it for a bit and it's not all right. So if there is a fracture, there is a limited window in order to be able to then start your treatment in order to make sure it's in a good position and get the best possible result you can.
You play netball. We alluded to it in the last episode, Emma. Mm-hmm. How bad are sportsmen and sportswomen at doing what Ed has just said there, thinking, I'll be all right?
Very bad. They just tend to strap them together and then just think, I'll just get on with it.
So you buy one of those little compression bandages from Boots,
I'll
or something
just get some
like
tape
that.
And just tape it together.
And that's not the thing to do.
Ideally not, no.
So why is the window so short? Because 2 weeks does not give you any time at all. And people listening now will go, well, it's not that easy to get an appointment. If I call up my GP, for example, there's often a waiting list for 2 weeks or more.
So, well, the 2 weeks, so if you've broken a bone, over the first couple of weeks, those fragments will be mobile, and that's why they're so painful, really. But the mobility within those fragments means that, particularly if it goes in towards a joint, as you move, it can create a step in the joint that will then mean that later on in life you may well be prone to arthritis, and as discussed in the last episode, that can lead to pain and stopping you wanting to do the things you want to be doing. But at about 2 weeks, the bones are starting to knit back together. And as they start to knit, it throws out a whole load of bone scar. Everything starts to get sticky inside. And then in order to manipulate those little fragments, which are very, very small, you're often talking about fragments that are maybe a couple of millimetres in size. As they start to stick back together again, the ability to move them into a good position starts to get lost, which means that you're going to end up with permanent problems with that finger or wrist or wherever it is.
And I would imagine that's where your job gets incredibly tough, isn't it, Emma?
Yes. So once things are maybe not healed in the best position, it's much harder to rehab them, and especially the soft tissue. So soft tissue, we were talking about the bone, but the soft tissues around the fingers is quite intricate and it's all very, very close together. So any injury has quite a significant impact to the bone, has a significant impact on the soft tissue as well. And the soft tissue injury itself can also make your finger put your finger into a funny position when you heal. So, for example, if you hurt the ligament at the front of your finger, if it heals a bit tight, you'll end up with a finger that's permanently bent at that middle joint. And that can be avoided with early treatment.
If you have that situation, is the only way to rectify it would be to re-break it and set it? Or can that not be done? Is that not advisable?
So it can be done. It all depends on what the problem is. I mean, your hands and wrists are a pretty complicated piece of kit. So you've got a lot of tendons. So the tendons are the ones that are attached to your muscles that bend and move your fingers. You've got a lot of ligaments, and they're the ones that support the joint to prevent them bending in the wrong direction. And then you've got a lot of joints themselves and a lot of bones that are within there. So it all depends on where the problem is. But effectively, if you catch it early and get it right to start with, then it's relatively straightforward. If you're coming at it later, then if you've got a bone that's set maybe in a tricky position or an abnormal position that's causing functional problems, then effectively you have to wait for everything to settle down and calm down. So you're looking at about 3 to 6 months really afterwards, and then consider secondary surgery, which might be re-breaking it and resetting it. But then you've got to start that rehab process over again. So if you can catch it early, then you can avoid all of that need from there.
It's like everything else, isn't it? Getting it early on, you know, you can prevent a whole load of problems in the future. When you look at wrist, hand, fingers, is there a particular area that is more complicated for you guys to deal with than others? Or
I mean, wrist itself, I would say, is probably one of the more complex things. So you've got a whole series of little bones within your wrist, as well as then the major forearm bones. And that gives a really broad range of motion to your hand and wrist. But it also allows us to do complex tasks with our hands at funny angles. And so when you break your wrist, you're often have injury to the capsule, which contains some of the little ligaments around those little bones as well. And so it's a question of, if you're treated in a cast and if things aren't settling down as you would expect afterwards, then again you need to seek help sooner rather than later.
Will they always put it in a cast, or does it depend on how bad the break is? Do they sometimes leave it and go, actually, you know, we'll heal on its own?
So for wrist injuries, you'd always have some form of support. It may be a splint if it's a very simple, undisplaced fracture, but it would always need some form of support. For some finger injuries, they don't need any support at all. Strapping them to the next door finger is the right thing to do, but as long as you've got the alignment right to start with.
How common is it for people to come to you and they complain, they say, I've had this pain in my finger for quite a while? And as you start to dig a little bit more, they allude to, let's say, a sporting injury like you've talked about, Emma, and actually it transpires that they did break it, but they didn't realise it at that moment in time?
Yeah, I think it does happen really fairly frequently, I would say. And I think, again, it's the mindset of it's only a finger, it'll get better. But I think if it is sore and it's swollen following an injury, then you're often, an x-ray early on will help to diagnose whether it's soft tissue and requires more Emma's expertise in terms of mobilisation and making sure that we avoid the stiffness and the ligaments and the capsule and everything else is able to settle down in the right position. Or if it's a fracture, then we can make sure that that's in the right position to allow it to heal, to give the maximum outcomes and really prevent against any functional deficit in the future.
So if there's one message to take home from this particular episode, it would be, don't take the attitude of, I'll be all right, I'll just put a bit of tape on, strap it up and crack on. You need to go and see somebody.
Yeah, I think, you know, if it's not settling down really rapidly within the first couple of days and you're continuing to get pain and swelling, come and seek help.
When it comes to injuries and traumas that you guys witness, obviously there's certain jobs that could cause it, but we've touched upon the sport and this time of year, people dashing away to hit the slopes to go skiing. Skier's thumb, Ed.
Yes,
it's quite a common one.
So skier's thumb is a relatively common injury, and not always in skiers. So it can happen, or it's classically described in skiers, because you're holding a pole, and if you have a crash with your thumb wrapped around that pole, it means that your thumb is vulnerable and sticking out and can be forced away from the palm of your hand. And the way your thumbs sit, there are some important ligaments that require to be intact in order to pinch onto your thumb. And what happens with a skier's thumb injury is that ligament, unfortunately, gets ruptured. And as it gets ruptured, you lose the stability in your thumb. So it means that you can't pinch to pick things up. There's no stability there. And although, really, if you've got a complete ligament rupture, it's often not that sore afterwards. Functionally, you can't pick anything up, and that can be a real problem.
Would they come and see you first of all, or would they come straight to you, Emma, for physio in that situation?
I think it would depend. So there's different types of injury that you can have to ligaments. So you can have a ligament sprain. So in that sense, the ligament's still together, but you've got a little tear in the ligament, and that would be treated by hand therapy. And we tend to use a splint for the patient to allow that ligament to heal while the patient's still managing their daily activities, and then gradually wean out of the splint and work on their strength. If the ligament's completely ruptured, then that would potentially mean a surgical intervention.
Yeah, that doesn't sound quite... doesn't sound great. Yeah. The word rupture is one of those words.
If it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
You can't bring it back, unfortunately, which then means you're looking at an operation in order to reattach it. The majority of the time, the ligament actually pulls off one of the bones, and so you are able to repair it rather than having to reconstruct, which is good. But you're then looking to be in a splint for 4 weeks afterwards, keeping it nice and still whilst it heals up, and then it's back to Emma again for the rehab in order to be able to get it moving afterwards.
And for people who are about to dash away and then go on a nice skiing holiday, are there preventative measures that you can take to stop it from happening, or is it just being mindful and just being careful?
I think it's being careful. Watch the ice. Yeah.
So it's unfortunately there aren't any splints or patterns to it that you can use to try and prevent it from happening. It's about being mindful and recognising that if you do have a fall, and it can often be quite an innocuous fall, and to be fair, it can happen, you know, not just when you're skiing. If you slip and fall on ice or wet ground or climbing up a muddy bank and land onto an outstretched thumb, you can still have a similar type of injury pattern. And it's just being mindful that actually, if it's not feeling right, if you're struggling to grip, if you're struggling to pick things up, and it's usually often a little bit tender over the knuckle joint of your thumb, then again, the earlier you can seek treatment, often the easier it is to sort out. Certainly technically it's easier to do surgically, although even delayed presentation we can then still fix really relatively straightforwardly.
How common is it that you both see patients who have injured themselves, whether it be wrist, hand or finger, and it's been some simple household task? Or, for example, I'm thinking in this job, I'm sat in front of a computer screen, for example, I've got hold of the mouse, the computer mouse, and I'm clicking through and I'm editing and I'm sliding little files around. I notice I do have weeks where I'm doing that much work on the mouse, and I'll come away and think, oh, my index finger, it feels a little bit tender. And then it goes again, and it's all right.
That's probably a little bit more like repetitive strain and overusing the tendons. But one injury that is quite innocuous is called a mallet finger. And it's where you injure the tendon that straightens the end joint of your finger. And if you injure that tendon, the end of joint of the finger tends to drop and it sits in a bent position. The most common mechanism of injury that I find for this is either making the bed, they get the hand caught, or pulling up their trousers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so not a sports injury. And again, it's seeking that treatment and not thinking, if you notice you're doing something, your end of your finger drops, not thinking, oh, it'll be okay in a few days, because it probably won't.
You feel a bit of a fool, though, don't you? Really? Because in comparison to somebody coming back from I've been skiing, you know, and I've damaged my finger. Yeah. That is understandable, whereas, I just pulled my trousers off and my finger's knackered.
But it's a classic making the bed injury. Mm. And people, you often read about, classic mechanisms of injury, but this is one that's really there. And so many people, they'll be like making the bed and it's always folding a sheet underneath the bed, and they feel something go in their finger and then they can't straighten their finger. And it's where the tendon, which is the one that attaches a muscle to your bone to move it, has come detached from the end of the finger. And again, like with everything, if you treat them early, you can pop them in a little splint and they do really, really well. It's boring in the splint because you have to be in there for a few weeks.
About 8 weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of weeks.
Wow, that is quite a long time, isn't it?
But it's only the end of the finger that's immobilised, so they can use the rest of the hand.
So unfortunately, tendons have a rubbish blood supply. And so because they've got a poor blood supply, it means that they take quite a long time to heal up. But again, if you catch it early, pop them in the splint, then they do really well. But if you catch them late, then trying to correct it, so surgery doesn't tend to work terribly well. So you can surgically repair it, but it tends to mean that the finger is then very straight and can't bend, and functionally that's much less useful than a finger that bends.
And after those splints that you talk about, Emma, would the patient then need physio off the back of that, or invariably is it okay?
Yeah, so they come to hand therapy after that, and we have a gradual rehab scheme to wean out of the splint and get the finger moving again.
Yeah, I would imagine it feels a little bit weird.
Stiff,
after, after 8 weeks of being...
And also the tendon's quite vulnerable at that point to re-injury, so it's about protecting the tendon as well.
It's fascinating how... you don't appreciate it, do you? In everyday life, doing simple things, picking up a glass, typing out an email, or...
I think, you know... Our ideal outcome is that people aren't thinking about their hands. If you're not thinking about your hands, it means that they're working perfectly. And it's only when people start thinking about your hands and what you're doing day to day, you realise that actually you're thinking about them because they're not doing the things that you want to be doing. And it is, it's a hugely complex mechanism. There are so many different joints, ligaments, tendons, capsule bones that are combined into a really tiny space that have a hugely complex function that goes with it. And so ideally, the thing I want to hear more than anything else from my patients is, I'm not thinking about my hands at all. And then you know things are going well again.
I think off the back of recording this podcast, I might go home and just leave the bed. I might not make the bed today. Just watch TV instead.
Just do it carefully.
Pulling my trousers up is going to be the slowest task ever. Why are you taking so long? Ed and Emma said. So if people are concerned, if they are thinking about their hands, what is the first step? What's the best way to get in touch and to start that journey of maybe speaking to yourself, Ed, maybe going into physio, Emma?
So it's either seeing your doctor, seeing your GP, if you're starting to get increasing problems, and they can refer on, or we're able to accept direct referrals through the Circle Hospital in Harrogate, the Duchy Hospital, and we're happy for you to phone up and book in directly. We accept all the major medical insurers, and if you want to find out more details, then there's more information on my website, which is at harrogatehandclinic.com.